Small businesses are the cornerstones of our local communities, and small business owners are hardworking and passionate people who are chasing down their ambitions while there's a lot on the line. So, let Verizon champion your small business dreams. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon, well, they've got you back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, national average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
From the American Museum of Natural History in New York City, and beaming out across all of space and time, this is Star Talk, where science and pop culture collide.
Welcome, welcome to Star Talk Radio. I'm Bill Nye, guest hosting. This is a special edition, Chuck.
Yes.
We're honoring Sir Isaac Newton, whose birthday quickly approaches. He was born on December 25th, 1642, as reckoned in Britain. So we took your questions about inventions, inventors, inventresses, and scientific discoveries. Isaac Newton. I'm here, by the way, with Chuck Nice.
Thank you. Hi.
The charming and enchanting. Now, Chuck, you know, it was Christmas Day as reckoned in Britain.
In Britain.
But it was the 4th of January in Italy.
Yes. And, you know, that's because it's like, you know, it's a time zone thing, right? You know.
Oh, it's a little like right now it's complicated.
Like right now it may be, what time is it here? Currently 1:30. And so, you know, it's not that central time.
Right. So what happened is say what you will about the Vatican, the Catholic Church, they had some outstanding astronomers.
Right.
And they realized that if you add a leap day every 4 years, indefinitely, you're adding too much time.
Right.
And you may recall that so out of hand did it get that Pope Gregory the 13th declared the 5th of October to be followed by the 15th of October.
I remember that well.
It was a while ago.
It was a little while ago, but I remember it. That's just like it was, you know.
1572.
Right. So, just like it was that.
So the thing is, just imagine how this went down. So you're a tenant.
Mm-hmm.
And the landlord says, you owe me rent today. No, I don't. I don't owe you a rent for a week and a half. No. It says right
today.
Here, Pope said it's today. Think of the conflict.
That's some serious conflict.
Yeah, but if you are, on the other hand, if you're a farmer, an agriculturalist, and you start doing everything a week and a half late, because you're just looking at the calendar, then right. Things are messed up.
Well, you're in big trouble.
If you don't harvest when it's harvest time.
They got a lot of rotten corn out there.
Yes, or you planted too late.
It's even worse.
Yeah, it is. So the Pope was so powerful. How powerful was he? He threw out 10 days, and then they had this brilliant thing that they just thought deep thoughts about. We were talking about this before the show, and if those of you who aren't hip to this hipness, it's amazing. The year 2016, this year, was a leap year.
Yes.
As was 2012.
Okay.
28, 2004.
Right.
2000, a leap year. But 1900. Not a leap year.
Not a leap year.
1800, not a leap year.
Not
1700,
a leap year.
Not a leap year. They
so
agreed.
On the century, not a leap year.
On the, which is wacky. But they realize, they their scheme is that if you are not divisible by the number 400 evenly, you're a century, then you don't get to be a leap year.
Yeah, okay. So the,
crazy. So because they were adding a little too much time, about 11 minutes too much time every 4 years.
That's a lot of time.
Well, it starts to add up.
Yeah.
So the next adjustment, my understanding is, will be around 3,080. Someone's going to have to take a meeting.
And what would be the solution then in 3,080?
I think they'll have an extra day. We'll have a New Year's Day day.
A New Year's Day day.
Not part of January, not part of December. Just a day day.
Oh, that's actually, that's kind of cool.
It would be very cool. I know you have kids, but getting either of us, even your children, to the year 3,080 is a challenge.
You know, the way things are going now, I think getting any of us to the year 3,080 may be a challenge.
Maybe to get us even to 2020 will be
might be a challenge to get to 20. Yeah.
You know what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Chuck, as is traditional, so anyway, say what you will, Pope Gregory the 13th had this really good astronomers.
Mm-hmm.
A very good astronomical staff, and he made a decision, he stuck with it, and we're all with it. But in Britain, because of they just had their own Brexit.
Right.
Brexit. Rather.
So this was the pre-Brexit Brexit.
Well, they've never gotten along.
This was their astrological Brexit.
It's seven astronomical, please.
Astronomical, I'm sorry.
17 nautical miles from Britain to the mainland, but they still think of themselves as this other thing, even now. So it wasn't until 1756 that the British guys and gals agreed to go along with the Gregorian calendar. Just think, 100 years of not having the same calendar. How are you going to do business? Who's going to write checks?
I'll meet you next Tuesday. What happened to you?
That's right.
What happened? I waited all day.
This check isn't good for 2 weeks. What do you mean? No, it's a day.
What are you talking about?
What I always tell everybody, I believe that Isaac Newton's mother believed that Isaac Newton was being born on Christmas Day.
Right.
I mean, so I like to call it Newtonmas. Isaac Newton's birthday is Newtonmas. And it's very happy.
Right.
There's no dispute about deities and their offspring,
mm-hmm,
and what continent it started on.
Right.
And his or her ancestry. No, it's just Newtonmas.
For unto us this day, or not, a child is born.
There's a lot of child's borns.
Right.
Now, but this is Cosmic Queries.
Yes, it is.
So we're here in the cosmos.
You're here in the cosmos. And
we're going to take queries.
We have the queries.
And you are the queeriest.
I am the queeriest of the queer.
That didn't go the way I wanted.
The queerest of the queer.
You are the guy who asked the questions.
I am the queerest of the queer with the queries. And what we do is...
He's happily married, three children.
Yeah, well, you know.
How long have you been married?
Half of that is right.
How long have you been married?
I'll let everybody else be this. I've been married for 18 years. It'll be 19 soon.
Congratulations.
I think.
So then the old
me.
Joke, the
congratulations old, to me.
Yeah, your wife, a little stressed.
Condolences, maybe.
Yeah, so the old joke, which I'm still charmed by, 19 years.
Right.
Been married 19 years.
Yep.
Some of them happy.
Some of them, well, you know what? That's all marriage. I think that is the
negotiation. All right, so lead on.
So here we go. We have queries as they have been gleaned from all over the internet, no matter what it is, Twitter, Facebook, and our various incarnations.
Those electric media, kids.
The kids.
With their
internet and phone machines.
Their webs.
That's right. So
lead on. Nice shirt, by the way.
Well, thanks. The first thing that we always do when we have a cosmic query is read a query from one of our Patreon patrons. And yes.
Oh, Patreon.
Patreon.
One of the social outlets.
That is a social outlet where you can support us directly. And by doing so, we give you priority during our cosmic queries. Yes, we can be bought.
Worth every penny.
That's right. And and if you want to support us directly as well, make sure you check out StarTalkAllAccess.com, where you can get exclusive
everything.
Everything. That's you're absolutely
Hence
right.
Hence the term.
Hence the term access. God, that is why you are Bill Nye the Science Guy. All right, let's move on to our first one, which means let's start. Nick. Safransky says this, dear Dr. Nye, what is your opinion on the advancement of AI technologies? Is it hopeful or worrying, and why? Nick from Idaho. Where do you come down on the whole augmented intelligence?
I'm all for it. You got everybody, what do you do? Let's say, I don't know what you do out there, but if you travel at all, you might go to an airport.
Okay.
And you go from check-in to the terminal on a train.
That's right.
The train
has no driver. Oh, my God.
And it determines how much torque to give to the electric motors depending on how many people are on board, how much they weigh, how much their luggage weighs, right?
I did not know that.
Sure. And then it slows down appropriately soon enoughly so that no matter how many people or how few people are on board, it works.
Mm.
I set my coffee maker to come on by itself.
Right.
And that's all good.
Yeah.
But what the future is, the coffee, thirdly, I have a thermostat.
Right.
That keeps track of how I set it. I set it this way Monday through Friday. I set it that way on Saturdays and Sundays.
Right, because you may or may not be home as much.
And I might get up later.
Right.
On Sundays, I have a little routine where I get up later. I listen to a certain radio broadcast.
Oh, yeah?
Press on.
Okay.
And so it keeps track
coffee.
Of all
do we do coffee when we get
yeah,
up?
We do.
Okay.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Okay.
And so what it does is it keeps track of all that, and it anticipates what I'm going to do the next weekend and the weekend after that.
Okay.
Right? So what artificial intelligence is, it's making decisions in the for you in the future based on what has happened in the past.
Okay.
And I think we're all going to be more and more willing to let go of setting the thermostat kind of things every day.
Okay, so now with that in mind, and kind of as an addendum to Nick's question, how do you feel about augmented intelligence with respect to decision-making when it comes to perhaps endeavors that involve human life? For instance,
for example,
AI driving a car.
I'm all for it.
Really? Now,
who is worse at driving cars than
human
people?
Beings?
I mean, you guys, like all of you listening, I'm an above average driver. Yes, I know we all are.
Right, sure, everybody are. Can drive, right?
Give me a break. But give me a break, BRAKE. The thing is, humans are not that good at it.
Did you see what he just did there?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Come on.
So humans are just not that good at it. I think we'll be very happy to let go of it, which we're already doing multitaskically. This is to say, people are texting like crazy while they're driving. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be better if they were just texting and the machine were doing the driving, and the machine were keeping track of the other vehicles and agreeing on who goes first through the intersection and
right.
who gets to cut in front of whom?
You know, and you know, it's funny, but I just read an article that said the pinnacle of that will be when every single car has it, because all the cars will actually communicate with one another.
That's right.
So it's
like
not
termites.
Like, right, like termites. Yeah, absolutely. I never even thought of that. That's a great example.
The termites apparently have rudimentary algorithms built into their termitical brains.
Right.
And they function. They're able to go back and forth through their passages, yep. their galleries, build the big mounds, do their termite things, destroy your house and everything. All without top-down management.
That's right. Everybody carries out their task as directed by their place in that little colony.
The Borg, yeah.
Right.
So this should be doable. And people, we have mobile phones, which hand our calls from cell to cell
mm-hmm.
as we mobilize.
Right.
So what the heck? We can get cars to do the same thing. Safety systems have to be built in, yes.
Right.
You start going highway speeds, things could go horribly wrong very quickly.
Then you're always going to have one person who's just like, not going to tell me how to drive. I'm going to override this system.
I think that'll go away. In the same way, here in the big city of New York, the town's so nice, they named it twice.
Huh.
Once in a while, there's a subway passenger who just wants to push his way to the front of the line.
This is true.
But what happens is all the people around him just sort of don't let him.
Okay.
And so I think what'll happen is automatic driving systems will take into account the crazy person. And then there'll be requirement. There'll be recreational driving.
You know what? That makes sense.
Just because there's recreational horseback riding.
Right, yeah. Yeah, which that was the chief means of transportation, and now it's a recreation. But you're right, recreational driving, it makes sense. If all the cars are in communication, the one a-hole that says, not going to tell me how to drive, and disables his AI driving, all the other cars will go, hey, we got an a-hole out here. got an a-hole on the road.
Box him in.
Box him in. Let's do this, guys.
And they probably do it instantly at automatic. And driving...
That's awesome.
Well, but it seems very reasonable. You asked about this one thing.
Yeah, that's great.
It takes so much brain energy and concentration to operate a motor vehicle.
Right.
We can design systems that will do it for us, that we have created. They don't come from the automated driving sky.
So cool. Man, that's an
entity.
What a great answer, Bill. And,
thank you. Yeah. And furthermore, while you're out there, this is Star Talk, and I very much encourage you, of course, to watch Star Trek, enjoy Star Trek, turn it up loud, Star Talk. Gee whiz, Star
watch
Talk.
Watch them both.
Turn it up loud. But on the new Bill Nye Saves the World show, we have a show about artificial intelligence, which I think will change your life.
Please, before we go any further, since we have done with our first question, please tell us about Bill Nye Saves the World.
Well, it's going to be on Netflix in the spring. That's the only number they'll give us for a date is the spring. And there's 13 of them, and they're all pretty great. I mean, I put my heart and soul into them. We have an excellent writing staff, amazing crew. So as the saying goes... It's got a chance.
Fantastic,
Bill Nye Saves the World. It's got a chance.
I have to tell you, there's already a buzz about it. People are asking about it all the time.
They should be. So. I'm glad they're buzzing.
Yeah, man.
Doggone it.
Fantastic. All right, let's go to our next question. This is Chris Ryu, who says, "Hey, Bill, what would you say is the most significant invention/discovery, please limit it, to this decade thus far?" And Chris is coming to us from the Atom Club.
Well, I think we can call it CRISPR. I think will be the most significant invention or discovery or technique. And I got to think hard about the CRISPR's an acronym. I know the P is palindromic, but it's where we're able to replace individual genes.
Wow.
So a guy like you has some kooky heart condition. You got to take some kooky heart pills.
Yes, I do.
What we would do, your offspring may have inherited this gene, right?
This is true.
Those who have sprung from you off. So we could then in the future, when your grandkids go to be conceived.
We can turn that off?
We could perhaps turn that off.
Ah.
And then the question is, can you make super people?
Right.
Could you have super chucks that could do super basketball things?
That's a scary thought. The super chuck that was good at basketball was my dad.
Yeah, so he was skipped you.
Yeah, he skipped me. And by the way, did it ever skip me?
I believe it. Are those genes in there? Super chuck genes, are they in there? And could you activate them? And then would we suddenly have a surfeit of a whole bunch of very skilled left-handed relief pitchers? Would they like just show up parents want left-handed relief pitcher kids so they'll make millions of dollars or euros and they won't have to work anymore?
Maybe that's what happened to the Manning family. So Archie the father.
Oh, yes. Oh, I didn't remember the last
Eli.
Name. I had to think.
Yes.
Okay.
So, maybe you got a little gene manipulation going on there.
So anyway, the acronym is CRISPR, and if I were more prepared, I would be able to rattle it off. But
no, now you guys have an assignment.
But it's a genetic modification that we all imagine, so then you could have the term, which is imperfect but has caught on, is designer babies, where you'd have kids that you have... given certain attributes, and especially you've enabled them or disabled whatever genetic defect or perceived defect they would have. That would be amazing.
I actually know some people with designer babies because I know quite a few girls with the name, with a child named Chanel. So
I get it. Yeah, I get it. Okay.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing.
We got a minute and a half. This is going to be brilliant.
All right. Here,
Chanel's dad.
I have to tell you, in a minute you can do this. Carl Dean Twoll says this: for deep space travel protection and route to Mars, can a miniature magnetosphere be created to protect the occupants in the spacecraft? So our world is protected by a magnetic sphere, right? So can we do the same with a spaceship?
Maybe, but you need a lot of electricity.
Oh, okay.
The Earth's magnetic field is huge. Because it has a huge amount of iron.
Huge.
That's spinning.
It's spinning.
So I'm not saying
big
it could be done,
spinning.
But maybe cheaper and easier would be to have a layer of water around the ship. Furthermore, it's been speculated that the risk isn't really that high. It increases your chance of getting cancer 3%.
Okay.
Doesn't guarantee that you'd get cancer.
Okay.
97 times more likely than everybody else.
I'd live with those odds to go to space.
Especially the astronaut people. They're pretty motivated, let's run 4 or 5 marathons a week kind of people.
Right.
And so people speculate that the risk isn't that high. It's an interesting thing that people love to talk about, and people on both sides. We could never go to Mars because of radiation. We have to go to Mars because radiation is not a problem. And we'll be back after this on Star Talk as Cosmic Queries with Chuck Nice and Bill Nye. Talk to you in a moment.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Do you want to set up your child for success? Of course you do. Maybe you want to save money on private tutoring, or maybe it's just out of your budget altogether. Is this a big school year for your child? Like maybe they're starting kindergarten, middle school, or high school, or some other milestone. Maybe your family moved and they're starting at a new school. Is your child ahead? Not getting challenged enough in class? Well, we love that little smarty, but we want them to be engaged. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or the personality. There's one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Kids can use it at home on the computer or on the go through the app on your phone or your tablet. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. And no more trying to figure out how to explain math equations or grammar rules yourself. IXL has built-in explanation videos. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Star Talk Radio listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/StarTalk. Visit IXL.com/StarTalk to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This is Star Talk.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Bill Nye here with Chuck Nice on Star Talk. And I'm the guest host. Mistakes are made. I'm the guest host with Chuck Nice. And the Cosmic Queries are where we take your inquiries.
Yes.
From anywhere in the cosmos.
That's right. Anywhere in the cosmos.
You can be anywhere in the cosmos. If you can get on the Earth's internet and send it in enough English characters or Roman characters arranged in English language, we will do our best for you.
That's right, because in the end, it's all zeros and ones anyway.
It is. Yep. It's troubling, but empowering.
Hey, here's Shane Henson from Facebook who says this. Hey, Bill, my question is, what invention from outside of science has made a large impact within science? Has an invention built to serve a different purpose other than science been used to advance science in new avenues of thought or discussion? Shane Hansen from Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada. P.S. Bill Nye the Science Guy is what made science fun for me growing up. I still get excited whenever I see an episode. Thank you so much.
Wow. Very sweet.
It was very, and heartfelt, right?
Heart, yes.
Yeah, I mean, this...
I'm palpitating. So what is outside
I think there's a pill for that. I think I take it for my heart.
What is outside of science?
So I guess what he's saying is, has there been kind of something that wasn't a scientific endeavor that led to a great scientific discovery?
Well, I mean, nuclear weapons.
Wow. God, that's not the answer I wanted.
Well, I mean,
even though you're right, that makes sense.
Trying to understand the inside of atoms.
Right.
Let's call it nuclear power.
Nuclear power.
Feel better?
Thank you. Yes.
Some of the energy right here, I think it's 19% of the energy in New York has made nuclearly.
Yes. As a matter of fact, that we've just found out that the power plant, which is not very far from where we are, is not adequately protected.
I'm shocked. No, everybody, I'm not changing the subject. The
not going to change
the nuclear industry just hasn't been that great at safety.
Yes! What is that about? I mean, seriously.
Well, they got in a hurry. And plus, it's just seemed like such a great idea. Dig this stuff up,
right.
Fission it, make electricity, put it back in the ground. What could go wrong?
Exactly.
Stuff goes wrong. Anyway, that aside, what invention came from outside of science? I mean, it depends what you want to exclude.
What do you call an invention?
Want to exclude? But to me, the greatest invention... Go ahead.
Has there been like some, I don't know, crazy cooking discovery that led to something in the medical world? You know what I mean? Like, we found that by cooking the bark of a certain tree cures this particular ailment.
Oh, that's...
Then we were able to distill that essence and make a pill out of it. Something like that.
Willow bark became aspirin.
Get out! You're absolutely... They're right!
Yeah, but is that...
I forgot about that.
Were the willow bark investigators and investigatrices, were they not doing science?
You know,
at some level,
I would assume they were
lab coats and business cards that said science person on it.
That was a long time ago, too.
Well, and it worked. And the other, when people say, "What's the greatest invention?" I almost always reply, "Sewers."
You know, we've had this conversation, but and we'll get into that because I have
Let's not get all the way into that.
We won't get all the way because I have somebody. I don't want to steal it from them. But the last time we had a conversation, you told me sewers, and I was flabbergasted.
I'm
still gasping of flab. And I got to tell you, when I heard your explanation as well, I was like, holy crap, I'm sorry.
Wait, and he did it again, people. Comedy is natural for him.
See that?
He doesn't
see
even,
that?
It just
boom.
Just happens.
It happens like that.
Enough with the verbs. Yeah, so anyway.
But yeah.
What's from outside of science? Is willow bark from outside of science? Is... fire making from outside of science.
Right.
I don't know. Second law of thermodynamics, I'd say, is inside of science. Timekeeping, we talked about earlier.
Yeah, timekeeping is science.
Coffee making, is that chefing or sciencing?
Either way,
it's delicious.
So true. Now I want a cup of coffee.
I really recommend, if you guys out there are going to start a radio show or podcast, I really recommend you have a coffee pot. This is not extraordinary. This is not an extraordinary idea.
It's a simple thing, right?
It's very common.
Very common.
Lead on.
All right, here we go. Well, Shane, good question. We didn't really get to an answer, but yeah.
Well, it's a tough one. I don't know what's outside of science.
Yeah, what's outside of science? Everything is science when you think about it, so.
That's really what we're saying.
Everything is science, okay? All right, here we go. Grant Roach says this. Hi, Mr. Nye. What three key inventions do we need for a manned mission to Mars?
Which could be a human mission. It
doesn't have to be guys.
I mean, if I'm going out into space for 400 days,
right?
You're a great-looking guy, Chuck, but I wouldn't mind having some ladies.
YMCA. Okay.
You can... there's no need to feel down. Pick yourself off the ground.
That's right. You can get yourself clean, baby.
You can have a good meal.
You can have a good meal.
You can do whatever...
You feel.
At the YMCA.
There you have it.
So with that in mind, I don't know why this person chose three key inventions.
You know, this is what I just read them, Bill. But he says, what three key inventions do we need to send some astronauts to Mars?
So at the Planetary Society, as you may know,
yes,
we did an analysis last spring.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really need any new technologies, new inventions. We just need to improve or literally expand the technologies we already have.
Okay.
And the expansion hilarious reference I was making was to the inflatable habitat.
Aha!
So you have existing rockets, you get in orbit, then you fly some more rockets up to get enough fuel,
mm-hmm.
and you fly to Mars in a big inflatable habitat,
mm-hmm.
and you orbit Mars. And all this could be done with existing technologies if it was just decided to be done. So the analysis we did at the Planetary Society was 2033.
All right.
Now, if you're of a certain age, Chuck, as I am, you remember the Apollo program, and astronauts orbited the moon first.
Yes.
Apollo 8, 1968, orbited the moon, and... that was the precursor. That's where we figured out trajectories, made sure the retro rockets retroed and rocked,
right.
and took the famous picture of the Earth rise on
right.
the eve of Isaac Newton's birthday, 1968, astronaut Bill Anders.
And they call that what? A moon orbit insertion? What is that?
That's lunar orbit
lunar
insertion.
Lunar orbit insertion, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Space people dig that.
Yeah.
So we could do the same thing at Mars in 2033 without increasing the United States National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, budget. If you got international partners, if you got motivated, Lockheed Martin thinks they could do it in 2028, which would be two Martian orbits sooner. And we're all for it. Let's go. But the things you need is a place for people to live for this journey.
Mm-hmm.
You need great big rockets.
Right.
And you need to decide to do it. And the biggest problems are political.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the argument will come back. how are you going to send somebody to Mars when you don't have NASA, period?
You're talking about when all the federal budgets
when all the federal budgets is slashed to zero.
So what you all are, I know many of you are, half of everybody you meet voted the other way from the way you did, but... it's very reasonable that with the president-elect, when taxes are cut, the federal government will have less money.
Right.
And programs will be cut. And one of the things that's going to be cut first will be earth science. And
right.
then how far is it from earth science to deep space exploration? And then
mm-hmm.
how far is it from... and then, in general, there'll be short-term gains where infrastructure gets invested in. But then there'll be inflation, and that the inflation then will put further pressure on the space program.
There you go.
So it's
there are some people
sponge
who actually
up economics.
Some people feel like that is actually necessary because the idea behind smaller government is starve the government, and by starving the government, you cause a proliferation of private sector activity. And so, where NASA will not be able to do what they're supposed to do, you'll have private sector entities that will step into that vacuum and find a way to make money sending a spacecraft to Mars.
We'll see. you may
that
be right.
That was the best answer to that.
You may be right.
No, we're not right. Because is there any real profit in sending something to Mars?
Now you're talking. See, there is no, almost certainly, there is no business case for going to Mars.
Right.
You're not going to make money going to Mars. You could sell tickets, but you're off by a factor of 10 million, something like that.
Exactly.
In other words, the cost of it compared to what people would pay.
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Clearly, governments are the only entities that
traditionally
have any reason to do stuff like this.
Well, the Lunar X Prize is a way to do it. but you're going back to a place people have already been. And I remind us, in the example of Columbus or Magellan or Francis Drake or Henry Hudson, these people or these explorers went around on the government dime.
Yes.
Or before they had euro, the government peso, the government pound, drachma.
That's right.
They did their thing. Lewis and Clark were government employees. And after they did the mapping, then you build the Continental Railroad,
exactly.
Transcontinental Railroad. You don't just go, let's start building a railroad and start cutting through the forest without knowing where the rivers are going to be.
Exactly.
It's not how it is.
That's
and
right.
So this gets back to something that my parents mentioned countless times as I was growing up.
Okay.
Common sense is not that common. You can't count on it. So we'll see what happens out there.
There you go. There you go. All right. So let's move on to our next question.
I'm supposed to have a cough button, but I just got to thinking about the future of the economic world, and I got choked up.
Yep. Here we go. All right. So in recent history, wait, who sent me this?
That's not somebody's name.
That's
in
not,
recent history, that's yes. an unusual name.
Yeah, it is. A very, in recent
lead,
history.
Lead on.
Mm-hmm. This is Bert Wardwell. I like your name, Bert. Bert Wardwell from Facebook says this. In recent history, the last 100 years or so, what has been the most important invention or breakthrough that has not had a direct military national security application? Thank you.
Maybe genetically modified crops.
Ooh.
But don't we feed the military with food?
Well, we do.
So maybe
but we feed everybody else with food, too. So they're just lumped into that group, the military.
Lumped in.
Unlike like my mashed potatoes.
But I think it has a cynical quality to it, that query, doesn't
it? Yes, because what he's saying is basically, unless we're making something to destroy one another, we really don't tend to have advancements.
Example. Here's an example from my own experience. I don't know if this will really do it for you, Bert. But I lived in the Pacific Northwest for a long time. We're very proud that it's the hypothermia capital of the world. Because the air is so moist any time of year. There's so much moisture in the air. It just sucks the heat out of you. The moist air conducts heat, or water conducts heat 25 times more strongly than air.
That's why wicking technology is so important.
So we had this state-of-the-art technology at first was Filson, which had this tin cloth, they call it, this waxed cotton cloth, and moisture will pass through it. I have a Filson hat from the 1800s.
Nice.
Same technology.
Okay.
Now we have Gore-Tex and the derivative products. All right, so when I went to do the Science Guy show in a Navy airplane.
Nice.
It was cool. We did the Navy training. I swam around the pool with boots on. I wore a flight suit. You know, I was just so cool.
Yeah.
But then the Navy had this very primitive keep warm technology. When you have to parachute out of your fighter plane over the middle of the ocean.
Okay.
And get in a rubber raft and hope somebody finds you.
Right.
It was all this very heavy wool.
Ew.
But now the Navy has Gore-Tex.
Right.
So which came first? Bert. I say the moisture wicking technology came first. That's what I say.
Well, there you have it. Wow, that's pretty cool, man.
I'm jamming there. I'm working hard because that same Teflon stuff is used to insulate wires in aircraft because when it burns, it doesn't make very much poisonous smoke.
Wow.
If it isn't one thing, it's something else.
Something else. The world's a dangerous place. That's what we're learning here, people.
The world's pretty great. It's much safer than it used to be.
That is for sure.
When you live in the developed world, anyway. If you live in a war zone, it's a bit of a drag.
Wow. Yeah, this is true. You know what? Since you brought up the show, I just want to ask you.
Which show? The show? This is the show.
Well, this is one show, but, you know, the science
Bill Nye
guy,
Saves the World?
Guys, well, Bill Nye Saves the World, and the fact that you get to do all this cool stuff. What's the coolest thing you got to do?
Well, you're never going to say your favorite thing, because then you're going to think I didn't enjoy the other things. But F-A-18 Hornet, fighter attack Hornet airplane was pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It's the Blue Angels.
Yeah.
They fly upside down, they fly this way. And the Blue Angels recently had a difficulty. But in those days, it was fantastic. You fly, really, you guys, less than a meter, less than 3 feet from the other plane at 400 knots. It's crazy.
It's insane.
And as I always say, when
now, wait a minute. Are those guys actually just flying that way, or is it like computers?
No. And they take great pride. It's hard dudes. They're just, they don't even wear G suits. They don't have suits that inflate to keep them awake.
Right.
They lift weights and stay so fit that they can hold the blood in their brains. And
nice.
With that, Chuck Nice and I will be right back.
Hey. When you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member, you'll know a thing or two about an expertly packed capsule wardrobe that balances business and leisure. So you can go from conference sleek to cocktail party chic with a few new accessories. You can hustle from 9 to 5 before exploring with ease from 5 to 9. Because you're the chief excursion officer. The Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card. If you travel, you know. Learn more at go.amex/business.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
We'd like to give a Patreon shout out to the following Patreon patrons: Michael Kasakovich and Michelle Danik. Guys, thank you so much for supporting us on Patreon and helping us make our way across the cosmos. And if you would like your very own Patreon shout out, go to patreon.com/StarTalkRadio and support us.
Bringing space and science down to Earth. You're listening to Star Talk.
Welcome back. I'm Bill Nye, guest hosting on Star Talk Cosmic Queries. And I'm here, of course, with the remarkable and exciting Dr. Chuck Nice.
Well, thank you, Bill.
And here we take your inquiries from anywhere in the cosmos. You could be in orbit around Saturn. If you can get your query onto the electric internet machine, roughly in English, we will take your question and do our best. You could be on Proxima Centauri someplace.
Yes,
and we're around Proxima Centauri. And we're here for you, man.
There you go. There you go.
Entity person.
Proxima be cool.
Sure it is. So right. Give us one, Chuck.
Here we go. This is Sheldon Novak. And Sheldon, we actually touched upon this earlier in the show. I already know the answer to it, but I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, he already knows.
I already know the answer because you and I have actually talked about this before. Sheldon says, Bill, in your opinion, what has been the most important invention ever?
Well, Chuck, give it to us.
And it is sewers, as Bill says.
That's my opinion, which is
his
correct.
Opinion. And please, I love this conversation because I have to tell you, the first time I ever heard you say that, I'm like, really?
Well, just you wouldn't have cities. And without
That's
cities,
right.
You wouldn't have this show. And by that, I mean people have to collaborate to make these extraordinary advances in science and technology. Once in a while, there's a lone inventor out in Utah or Idaho who invents television, Philo T. Farnsworth in this example. But even he benefited from cities and factories near cities where people went to work and worked together to do extraordinary things.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to have people in cities, you got to have waste management.
Absolutely.
And that's why I mentioned sewers.
Yep.
And they're subtle. They seem straightforward, but you got to plan for them. You can't just build a city and then think, well, let's go back and put
it. Let's go back and put in some sewers.
You got to start with the sewer and work your way up.
As we know, if you've ever been to India, you'll find out exactly how important what Bill just said really is.
It's really hard for us from the developed world.
It's tough. You know. So no, I love that answer. You know, and you know, sewage is something that you take for granted until you don't have it.
Yeah, and plumbing you take for granted until
it doesn't work.
Holidays and the sink stopped up and so on.
Yep.
And so this stuff is straightforward, and the ancient Romans had it, sewers and water management technology, but you gotta plan for it, you gotta take it into account. It's gotta be an important thing to you and your society.
There you go. So there you have it, Sheldon. It's sewers, baby. So keep your mind out of them. And remember to appreciate them. Okay, Mike Jividen.
A poem by Dr. Chuck Nice. All right, Mike, he's got a question.
Mike Jividen says, Mr. Nye, on the topic of climate change, what problems do we face that could possibly be solved by new inventions or refining old technology?
This is the so-called softball question. Thank you, Mike.
Yes, yes.
So here's what we want to do.
Okay.
We want to provide renewable electricity to everyone in the world,
mm-hmm.
reliable renewable electricity.
Okay.
We want clean water for everyone in the world, and we want access to the internet or whatever the future of the electronic information sharing system.
So now why is that important? Because I understand the other two, but why access to the internet?
Because then every...
That seems like a luxury.
No, it will democratize everything.
Right.
So what we want to do, we have, when I was a kid, there were 3 billion people in the world. Now there's 7.5 billion people in the world. By 2050, there'll be 9 or maybe even 10 billion people in the world.
Wow. Where are we
going? Half of those people are going to be girls and women.
Yes.
So if we want to provide a quality of life for girls and women, we need to provide education. And the way to get education to everywhere in the world is through the internet.
So true.
All right, so that's what we want to do. So here's the thing of it. Here's the claim from me in the engineering community. We have the technology today. We have the wind and the sun and geothermal and a little bit of tidal energy to run the whole place renewably if we just decided to do it. And this is not Star Talk. This is a different website. Check out thesolutionsproject.org.
Mm-hmm.
And there... Civil engineers have done an analysis showing how this would be done in each state and over 130 countries around the world. The energy's there. We have to capture it and distribute it in a new way. And it's not that radically new, just better way. And that is, instead of having few concentrated power plants, we would have hundreds of thousands of distributed, or maybe millions of distributed energy sources. So, for example... my beloved state of Iowa.
Yes.
Where 99% of the world's popcorn is produced.
Nice.
That is worth that right there.
That's
worthy of respect.
Yes, it is.
Okay. They get a quarter of their energy, electricity from the wind. 25% of the electricity from the wind. And that's right now.
That's right now.
Competing against subsidized fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
It's right now. Texas gets 10% of its energy from the wind, electricity from the wind. So let's go, people. We can do this.
We can do it.
So we want to advance existing technologies. And if you want to get rich, and I hope you do, invent the better battery.
Oh.
And it doesn't have to be radically new, catastrophically different from existing batteries. It just has to be better. It has to not overheat, has to store more energy, has to be lighter weight. And it'd be great if you can make it out of inexpensive materials, carbon, antimony, magnesium, these things. Get out there. Do that and get rich.
There you go. So now let's piggyback on that thought right there. Dalton Howard wants to know this. Bill, may I please have your take on the new diamond batteries?
Well, if they work, I'm in. That's the carbon.
Okay.
I'm in. I mean, I don't know. Does it work or not? Diamond, in general, not that cheap, but if they're made artificially for certain applications... Imagine, you know how many hearing aid batteries there are out there? There's a zillion.
What'd you say?
Yeah. And the remote control of your television, all this stuff. If they were tinier, more efficienter batteries made of carbon,
mm-hmm.
That would be a fabulous thing.
Haven't we seen quite a bit of advancement in battery technology? I mean, when you look at when you look at Tesla, when you look at battery-operated cars.
It doesn't have to be radically new, extravagantly, totally different, just better.
Just better.
Let's go.
There
just
go.
To your point.
Right. There you go.
Advancing your point. Agreeing with you, Chuck.
There you go.
Saying Chuck, Chuck, Chuck.
Awesome. Hey, let's hear from Alistair Gray. Alistair says, Bill, patents are often used by governments and other bodies to show how innovative or how well they are doing as an economic metric.
Sure.
But due to nefarious groups, you run the risk of your idea being copied or having litigious trolls suing you just for creating the patent in the first place. Are patents still relevant in today's world of inventors and innovators?
Are you kidding me? What's his name?
His name is Alistair.
Alistair, dude.
Alistair.
Dude, patents are vital. Whenever you create, suppose you write a song
mm-hmm.
and it becomes a bazillion seller. Do you want it? You're just giving it to the world?
Right.
How are you going to make your living? No, patents, intellectual property is very, very important. Patent trolls are a problem.
Right.
The difficulty of getting a patent is a problem in a way. But if you're out there and you have a great idea and you want to patent it, and I do not get any royalty from this organization, but start with LegalZoom.com.
Really?
There's routine paperwork.
To help you file?
Fill it out. Then you have 2 years to get it done for real.
Okay.
Okay, so, but everybody, if you have that great an idea, another thing to have is a business plan.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just patent it and expect the world to come to your door with cash.
Yeah.
No, you got to figure it out how you're going to take advantage of it, how somebody else isn't going to take advantage of you. It's business. It's what we do. We're humans. This is our thing here.
Okay.
So. Kids today. Hey, I'm checking the clock.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about sparks.
Sparks.
Thunderstorms.
Thunderstorms.
And tremendous amounts of energy and rising columns of air.
A tempest, it seems like.
And static electricity discharging itself to the ground.
Sounds a lot like a maelstrom with lightning.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Lightning round, Chuck.
The lightning round.
Hit me the lightning round.
Here we go, Bill. Let's start with our first lightning round question from Aaron Seth Graham, who says, hey, Bill, do you have an idea for NASA's recent space poop challenge?
No.
Okay, good. And we're moving on.
Somebody does. You want to recover the water and isolate the bacteria. That's what you want to do. Get
okay,
on.
There you go. And since he called the space poop challenge, I got to use this other lightning
round. This is Edwina? Who's it?
Edwina.
Edwina.
Lightning round notification.
Thank you, Edwina.
Here we go.
Very thoughtful. She's a rubber chicken.
Rubber chicken people.
With electronics.
Yes, exactly. It's amazing. All right, let's move on.
Is it electronic or is it pneumatic?
No, it's just air passing through a diaphragm.
Pneumatic.
Pneumatic, is that what that's called?
Air pneumatic means having to do with breath.
That's breath. All right, because like when you have pneumonia.
Or you have pulmonations.
Right, there you go.
Another noun for you. All right.
James Peters wants to know this. Who are the top scientists credited for, non-scientists credited for scientific discoveries? Are there any top scientific discoveries that did not come from a scientist?
There must be. But I don't know who they are.
All right, there you go.
Who's the coffee maker? Melita.
Boom.
She wasn't strictly a scientist.
There you go.
That's pretty great.
There's your answer, James. Here's another lightning round from, Croneva. Okay.
Croneva.
Okay, here we go.
B.
is there a common trait with inventors? Do you think the world would be better or worse if inventing were inherent human traits across the entire species, i.e., if everyone were asked to come up with a cure for cancer, do you think we'd have a better chance of coming up with a cure?
No. No, in that one example, everybody is an inventor. Everybody solves little problems all day, but solving cancer, I think you have to know a lot about medicine and stuff. That takes a few minutes in medical school and things.
There you go. All right. Julian G. Garcia says, I am curious, Bill. We seem to know where we are in our galaxy and where the center of our galaxy is, but do we know where the center of our universe is?
Yes.
Yes, there you go.
It's off that way.
It's over there.
It's no, it's in the plane of the Milky Way off a long way off. No, yeah. People love that. That's a great one. Where's Neil?
We're actually...
Neil
will
give you an earful on that.
There you go. Yeah, we said... we'll revisit that with Neil. Alan Pelasco says this. Mr. Nye, in the last 50 years or so, technological advances have been crazy. Is this due to reverse engineering of... Oh, God. Alien technology?
Yes.
You totally got me. He totally got
it. Alien technology. Humans have never had a single idea of their own. It all came from outer space.
All right, Alan.
Wow. Humans are so stupid.
Yes.
They can't think of anything, and let alone make a right angle to make a pyramid. A human could never do that unless he found 3, 4, and 5 things.
Unless some alien landed and instructed him, right?
Yeah.
Okay. James Coltis says this. Hey, Bill, what invention would you like to see in the future? Are there any scientific discoveries that keep you up at night?
Yes. I want to find life on another world. Now, if that's an invention, but I would like to enable that. There are probably going to be some inventions involved in creating a robotic rover.
Mm-hmm.
Can go to Mars, go up to the recurring slope lineae, the stream, RSLs.
Okay.
And sniff around. Because everywhere there's moisture on Earth, we find something alive. Is there moisture? I mean, there is moisture on Mars. Is there something alive there? Whoa.
All right, and...
We're down near the end here, Chuck.
Yeah, we are.
30 seconds, let's hit it.
30 seconds, let me put my own personal addendum on that last question. Do you think the discovery of extraterrestrial life will cause us to descend into chaos or bring us all together?
Bring us all together.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Like to discover any other discovery in medicine. When we realize that we are not alone in the cosmos, it will bring us together. We will realize that our world is that much more special and astonishing. And if we can show that there's absolutely nothing else alive anywhere, that would be even more profound. Carry on. This has been Star Talk. I'm Bill Nye, your host, and I'm here with citizen of the world, Chuck Nice. Let's change the world. Keep looking up. It's art. It's art, people.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.